Chapter 20. It couldn't be helped, Uncle. If I had known you were going to challenge him, I should have felt obliged to sacrifice my pledged word in order to stop it, but Wilson couldn't be expected to do otherwise than keep silent. Oh, no, Wilson did right, and is in no way to blame. Tom, you have lifted a heavy load from my heart. I was stung to the very soul when I seemed to have discovered that I had a coward in my family. You may imagine what it cost me to assume such a part, Uncle. Oh, I know it, poor boy, I know it. And I can understand how much it has cost you to remain under that unjust stigma to this time. But it is all right now, and no harm is done. You have restored my comfort of mind, and with it your own, and both of us had suffered enough. The old man sat a while plunged in thought, then he looked up with a satisfied light in his eye, and said, "Had this assassin should have put the affront upon me of letting me meet him on the field of honor, as if he were a gentleman is a matter which I will presently settle but not now. I will not shoot him until after election. I see a way to ruin them both before. I will attend to that first. Neither of them shall be elected, that I promise. You are sure that the fact that he is an assassin has not got a broad?"
"Perfectly certain of it, sir."
"It will be a good card. I will fling a hint at it from the stump on the polling day. It will sweep the ground from under both of them. There's not a doubt of it. It will finish them. That and outside work among the voters will, to a certainty. I want you to come down here by and by, and work privately among the ragtag and bobtail. You shall spend money among them. I will furnish it." Another point scored against the detested twins. Really, it was a great day for Tom. He was encouraged to chance a parting shot now, at the same target, and did it. You know that wonderful Indian knife that the twins have been making such a to-do about? Well, there's no track or trace of it yet, so the town is beginning to sneer and gossip and laugh. Half the people believe they never had any such knife, the other half believe they had it, and have got it still. I've heard 20 people talking like that today. Yes, Tom's blemishless week had restored him to the favor of his aunt and uncle. His mother was satisfied with him too. Privately, she believed she was coming to love him, but she did not say so. She told him to go along to St. Louis now, and she would get ready and follow. Then she smashed her whiskey bottle and said, "Done now. I's a gwine to make you walk as straight as a string, Chambers, and so I's bound, you ain't gwine to get no bad example out o' yo mammy. I told you, you couldn't go into no bad company. Well, you's gwine into my company, and I's gwine to fill the bill. Now, then, trot along, trot along." Tom went aboard one of the big transient boats that night with his heavy satchel of miscellaneous plunder, and slept the sleep of the unjust, which is serener and sounder than the other kind, as we know by the hanging eve history of a million rascals. But when he got up in the morning, luck was against him again. A brother thief had robbed him while he slept, and gone ashore at some intermediate landing. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.